Hi, and thanks for joining me for Stories from the Phoenix New Times. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer, Chip Holbrook. First on this week's program, a story written by TJ LaHerue and posted on the Phoenix New Times website on August 8th. Tempe cop chief gave city officials data to harass homeless advocates. Editor's note: this story has been updated to include responses from Tempe Police Chief Kenneth McCoy, City Manager Rosa Incosti, Chief Deputy City Manager Greg Ruiz, Assistant Police Chief Dane Sorensen, and Andre Miller, the Arizona Chief President of the NAACP. For well over a year, top officials in Tempe have battled residents feeding the homeless in city parks. But in a remarkable new whistleblower report, one of the city's top cops alleged that the force's chief was helping them out in violation of Arizona law. On Wednesday, a lawyer for Tempe Police Commander Rashidi Johnson sent a letter to the Arizona Department of Public Safety alleging that Tempe Police Chief Kenneth McCoy consistently and improperly provided top Tempe officials with information from the Arizona Criminal Justice Information System, ACJIS, which is intended to be used only by law enforcement officers. The letter, obtained by Phoenix New Times, formally asks the Department of Public Safety, which oversees the data system, to investigate McCoy and Tempe for mishandling sensitive law enforcement data unrelated to a lawful criminal justice function. The Arizona Department of Public Safety has not yet told Phoenix New Times whether it received the letter. City officials strenuously denied the allegations in the letter, accusing Johnson's attorney, Larry Henke, of conducting a calculated attempt to mislead, to inflame, and to harm. The letter's allegations implicate McCoy, as well as Tempe's city manager, Rosa Incosti, and her chief deputy, Greg Ruiz. The city of Tempe's city manager was given access to and provided information from ACJIS in her personal efforts to initiate a campaign of harassment and selective enforcement against two citizens who were homeless advocates and had a program of feeding the homeless in city parks, Austin Davis and Ron Tapscott, Johnson's lawyer, Larry Henke, wrote in the letter. Davis and Tapscott are currently suing the city in federal court, claiming Tempe violated their civil rights by criminalizing their efforts to feed unhoused people in public parks. Davis has been hauled into court, arrested, jailed, and banned from the parks, though that ban ended on Wednesday. Tapscott faced a charge for feeding the homeless without a permit, though it was later dropped. McCoy denied the allegations in a statement sent to New Times. The claims in Mr. Henke's letter are categorically false, defamatory, and wholly unsupported by facts, the statement read. At no time have I, nor any member of the Tempe Police Department under my direction, provided ACJIS or any other law enforcement sensitive information to the city manager, deputy city manager, or any unauthorized individual for political purposes or selective enforcement. To state otherwise is not only baseless, but also a reckless distortion that undermines the integrity of public safety professionals across this state. Incosti also denied the letter's allegations. I have never requested, nor have I ever received, information regarding Austin Davis or Ron Tapscott from an ACJIS database. There is no campaign of harassment against Davis, Tapscott, or any Tempe resident. Full stop. Any allegation to the contrary is a flat-out lie. Henke's letter claims Incosti lobbied Assistant Chief Dane Sorensen to start tracking demographic data on unhoused people to determine the whereabouts of the homeless. At the time, the department did not gather such data on homeless people for legal reasons, the letter stated. In a statement to New Times, Sorensen denied the allegation. I have never shared ACJIS information with anyone who is not authorized, ever. I have not been requested to provide ACJIS information to City Manager Rosa Incosti, nor have I given it to her, or any unauthorized person. Henke's letter claims many of the department's top officers were opposed to the city's top official tracking such data because it was discriminatory to base police tracking of a demographic simply based on their homeless status. In addition, ACJIS information is typically reserved for law enforcement officers with authorization to access the system. The sentiment from police personnel was universal. They were all uncomfortable with this process because this information had never been reported out to civilians, let alone civilians that do not possess ACJIS credentials, the letter notes. Nevertheless, the letter claims that because Incosti ordered that data to be collected and provided to her and Ruiz, it was done. Incosti told New Times she is not authorized to access AGCIS information independently and has never requested any such information. Every accusation contained in this letter, apparently sent by an attorney busy threatening to sue the city of Tempe on additional trumped-up allegations, is absolutely, unequivocally false, Incosti wrote. Ruiz told New Times that he is authorized to receive AGCIS information, but that he has never requested nor received AGCIS information regarding any single individual or information on the unsheltered community. In his statement, McCoy wrote that Henke's letter includes outrageous fabrications and misleading assertions regarding the operations of the Tempe Police Department and the conduct of city leadership. The allegations that our department has engaged in unlawful tracking, misuse of confidential information, or the politicization of police resources are offensive, unfounded, and in direct contradiction to our agency's policies, oversight mechanisms, and long-standing commitment to ethical policing. On Friday, Tapscott called for the Tempe City Council, which can't be said to be a huge fan of his, to terminate its contract with Incosti and hire independent organizations to investigate her and the Tempe Police Department. City Manager implicated. In his letter, Henke claimed that McCoy signed off on and oversaw the sharing of the sensitive police data with city officials against the wishes of other top officers. The dissemination of confidential ACJIS information to non-law enforcement personnel became so prevalent that Chief McCoy systematized the disclosure, the letter states. McCoy created a quarterly department report out meeting where Assistant City Manager Greg Ruiz was present at a regular meeting where every division of the police department reported out confidential information. The letter alleges that the department provided ACJIS information to Incosti and Ruiz that included personal information on suspects and unhoused people. Incosti denied receiving ACJIS data and said the city certainly did not order Tempe Police Department personnel to engage in a discriminatory policy of police tracking of demographics simply based on their homeless status. McCoy said that the suggestion that I systematized the disclosure of ACJIS information is not only false, but also a malicious attempt to tarnish my character and that of the dedicated men and women I serve alongside. Tempe Mayor Corey Woods did not respond to questions from New Times about the allegations. Woods has praised Incosti publicly, including on June 5th, when the council voted unanimously to upgrade her salary by more than $50,000 to $370,000. Woods has insinuated that opposition to Incosti and her pay raise was based on sexism, which has irritated some Tempe residents who have taken issue with Incosti's crackdown on homeless people and those who help them. She has, from my perspective, done an incredible job, Woods said. I don't believe, quite honestly, that she sleeps. The letter contains details about Incosti's alleged operations. Henke wrote that he has messages that show Incosti directed Tempe Police's Threat Mitigation Unit, which mines data for terrorist threats, to surveil Davis and Tapscott so that the city could keep tabs on where they were feeding the homeless. The letter claims Incosti allegedly worked with Sorensen, the assistant chief, to stay informed about Davis's activity. Weeks before Davis's arrest in July 2024, Sorensen allegedly texted a colleague about the situation in Papago Park, where Davis and his organization fed unhoused people. It read, "How is Papago? I have a 0800 meeting today with Rosa and or Greg." Sorensen told New Times that, at the time, the park was a concern for the city due to crime occurring in and around it. It is the responsibility of Tempe Police to address crime and do criminal justice work to keep our city safe. That is exactly what we did. Henke's letter also claims Incosti routinely asked for the names of officers and detectives involved in confidential or undercover operations, and McCoy willingly provided this environment, despite the violations of ACJIS and safety, to all employees at the police department. Additionally, Johnson and Henke allege that McCoy and the department violated an Arizona law that bars knowingly disclosing or misusing confidential records such as ACJIS data outside lawful duties. In his statement, McCoy said, "As chief of police, I will not allow false accusations to stand unchallenged, especially those that malign the professionalism of our department and suggest impropriety where none exists." Discrimination complaint. This isn't the first time Johnson, the whistleblowing commander, has aired allegations against the Tempe Police Department. In February, Johnson and Henke sent a complaint to Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays, alleging McCoy and the department had engaged in racial discrimination when they went against protocol and selected Johnson to investigate the arrest of a black Chicago police officer in August of 2024. Johnson, who is black, claims he was selected for the investigation because of his race and that internal affairs should have been chosen to investigate instead. The complaint also alleges that after Johnson was removed from the investigation weeks later, he underwent months of harassment, discrimination, and retaliation, and that McCoy interfered with an ongoing internal investigation about Johnson. The complaint says that text messages allegedly show that McCoy, who is also black, enlisted the help of Andre Miller, the Arizona Vice President of the Civil Rights Organization, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, to pressure Johnson into cutting a deal. "Accept a conversation today with Chief, no attorney," Miller texted Johnson on February 18th. "It's happening today, no attorney." However, Miller's version of events is different. He told New Times that Johnson actually contacted him to try to set up a meeting with McCoy via text message. When New Times asked to see the texts in question, Miller said the conversation actually took place on a call. Richie Taylor, the communications director for Mays' office, told New Times that he was working on obtaining the status of the complaint. In May, Johnson filed a notice of claim against the department, which is a precursor to a lawsuit. No lawsuit has been filed yet. Henke said Johnson submitted a claim to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. He cannot sue until the EEOC issues a finding in the case. Tempe has disputed Johnson's discrimination claim. Johnson also asked the Arizona Peace Officer Standards and Training Board to investigate McCoy over a variety of what he says is illegal conduct. As post executive director Matt Giordano, who will soon take office as chief of the Phoenix Police Department, said AsPost has an open inquiry into that complaint, but is awaiting documents from Tempe Police. Here's a related story, also written by TJ LaHiru. It was posted on August 7th. Tempe threw a homeless advocate in jail for filming cops. It was about a year ago that plainclothes Tempe detectives first arrested Austin Davis, the 24-year-old poet and Arizona State University graduate whose grassroots quest to feed and help the homeless has irked the city and its top officials. Tuesday, the city marked the anniversary by throwing him in jail again. The evening of August 5th, Tempe police arrested Davis and deposited him in jail, the third night he spent behind bars in the last year. On Wednesday, when he was released, he told Phoenix New Times his experience was markedly different from the harrowing, restless first time he experienced the slammer last year. "I got some good sleep, actually," Davis said. "Almost everyone in there is just people I know from the streets, so we were just bullshitting all night." Davis was in high spirits, probably because of a strange turn of events. At an arraignment hearing Wednesday morning, the city not only dropped the charges that led to his arrest, but also ended Davis's ban from Tempe Parks, which was supposed to last until May of 2026. 4 days prior, Davis had filmed the arrest of two unhoused people who were allegedly detained for trespassing in city parks. One was handcuffed by Tempe police officers near Maurer Park and forced to lie on his back over a patch of rocks just steps away from the park's grass. Davis filmed the arrests without incident and later posted them to Facebook. But on Tuesday, Davis was walking his dog when four Tempe officers approached him and told him he was under arrest for interfering with judicial proceedings, an apparent reference to filming officers. They pulled up the video on the Facebook post, and then they started trying to make me feel like I had done something wrong by tagging the police department, Davis told New Times on Wednesday. "This isn't because of any crime I did. This is because I took that video, and it looks really bad on the city. They know that." In court on Wednesday morning, Davis was dressed in a black long-sleeve shirt and jeans, shackled around the waist, wrist, and ankles. He was surrounded by at least half a dozen other men, most of whom were in orange jumpsuits. By hearing's end, he was free from his shackles and free to return to city parks. A free man. Arresting Davis may have been a big blunder on the part of Tempe police. Davis's attorney, Russell Facente, told New Times that even Tempe City Prosecutor Alan Witt was dismayed at the decision to arrest his client. Facente recalled Witt remarking, "I can't believe they arrested him for what he did." Witt did not respond to a request from New Times to confirm that statement. However, the sentiment was reflected in the plea deal reached by Witt and Facente. The city dropped the interfering with judicial proceedings charge, while Davis pleaded guilty to violating his probation. One of the videos Davis took shows that he stepped onto a sidewalk adjacent to a city park, which is technically a violation of the probation terms that banned him from the parks. However, Davis noted that he only did so at the orders of a cop. In the video, the officer says, "Get out of the street because I was standing on the street," Davis said. "And so I stepped up onto the curb." That may have factored into Davis's new plea agreement. In exchange for pleading guilty to violating probation and spending the night in jail, the city agreed to end his probation 9 months early. Any restrictions he had regarding being in a city park have been lifted, Tempe spokesperson Chris Baxter Ging told New Times in a written statement Thursday. He is still required to follow all park rules and regulations like any other person and would be subject to any penalties that violations of the law would entail. As long as Tempe park rangers haven't issued a separate trespass warning against Davis, that means he will be able to enter Tempe's parks and, again, organize events to feed unhoused people with his nonprofit organization, AZ Hugs. If I'm understanding correctly, I can go back in the parks, which would be huge, Davis told New Times outside Tempe Municipal Court following his release. I mean, that's everything. Facente is holding Davis back momentarily. As of Thursday, park rangers head Michael Spikes had not yet responded to Facente's inquiry about outstanding trespass warnings. The city told him it would have to file a records request for that information, though Baxter Ging told New Times that there are no reasons that Austin Davis cannot be in a city park. But what explains the city's 180 on Davis's probation? It may have had something to do with the police department's overzealous reaction to its officers being filmed. Witt also rightly mentioned that Davis spent another day in jail, which is a serious matter, Facente noted. I mean, jail is not a hotel stay. Facente also said that if the plea deal wasn't satisfactory, Davis would have had a strong case against the city. He had a very valid reason for filming. Not only is it his right to film, but we know that not all Tempe officers treat unhoused people with dignity or sometimes use excessive force, Facente said. And also, this was a person in 100-degree heat lying down on their back on the gravel with no water. A history of Tempe versus Davis. Davis's feeling of triumph outside the courthouse was tinged with disbelief after pro tempore Judge Linda Lori, who approved the plea deal, praised him. Thank you again for your service, the judge said, adding, keep doing what you're doing. I was telling Russell, this is the Twilight Zone, Davis laughed. I get arrested for nothing, and then everything is dropped? If Davis is indeed allowed to enter the parks again without being detained, it will be an astounding turning of the tide. For well over a year, the city hounded Davis for organizing meals for unhoused people in city parks. The city first hauled him into court for running the events without a city-approved permit, which officials denied him when he applied, and then threw him in jail for trespassing and banned him from all parks for a year and a half as part of a plea deal. After Davis was banned, concerned community members like community activist Ron Tapscott and now State Senator Lauren Kuby stepped up to run the events in his absence. Tapscott and others established a private club, New Deal Meal, and required unhoused people to sign in to circumvent the city's requirements to obtain a permit for public events. At first, the city cited Tapscott for the events, but later dropped the charges. Davis, Tapscott, and Tempe resident Jane Parker also are suing the city for allegedly infringing on their constitutional rights by targeting efforts to feed and care for unhoused people. But changes to city code have placed that case in limbo. Last month, the Tempe City Council unanimously passed a controversial update to its special events permit law, even though 77 people spoke out against it during the six-hour meeting. A citizen-led initiative to repeal the update collected signatures to place the issue before voters in March. Those signatures are now in the process of being verified and counted. With the fate of the new law hanging in the balance, Facente said the team suing Tempe is considering how to proceed. far-right schools chief put MAGA ally on downtown Phoenix school board. This next story was written by Morgan Fisher and was posted on August 7th. In late April, embattled local elementary school board president Jessica Bueno quit. For weeks, Bueno had resisted public pressure to step down, following a Phoenix New Times report that she'd bailed out a now-convicted sex offender when he was caught in an underage sex sting. Parents, including Arizona Secretary of State Adrian Fontes, packed meetings of the Phoenix Elementary School District Governing Board to rail against her. When Bueno announced her resignation, they finally got what they wanted. But as they say, be careful what you wish for. Bueno's absence left PESD's five-person governing board one member short, and candidates quickly began applying with the Maricopa County School Superintendent to fill the vacancy. District parent Allison Gullick submitted an application 2 days after Bueno resigned. The next day, former Phoenix Union High School and Levine Elementary School District Board member Randy Schiller threw his hat in the ring. Adrian Spies, another district parent and fixture at board meetings, applied. Also in the running were an Arizona State University professor with a kid in the district, a veteran school guidance counselor, and the president and CEO of the Children's Museum of Phoenix. County School Superintendent Shelley Boggs picked none of them. After Boggs began interviewing candidates in late May and promising them a decision by June, she finally tapped a replacement on Monday. In a press release, Boggs announced she'd be installing Suzanne Edmiston, a MAGA political operative and relative Arizona newcomer, until the next school board election in November of 2026. In her announcement, Boggs praised Edmiston's proven leadership, strong commitment to accountability, and dedication to fiscal responsibility. In an email to Phoenix New Times, her office called Edmiston, who is currently Arizona State Director for the hyper-conservative State Freedom Caucus Network, the most qualified candidate. Edmiston is also the only candidate who shares Boggs' Trumpian views. Observers noticed that Boggs, who won election in 2024 on an arch-conservative platform, sat on the board opening for weeks until Edmiston applied on July 1st, nearly 70 days after Bueno resigned. Several applicants for the vacancy told New Times that Boggs grilled them with politically tinged questions about their views on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and their voter registration. To them, it appeared as if Boggs was content to leave the spot unfilled until a far-right candidate miraculously popped up for the nonpartisan, unpaid board seat. "She's been notorious for doing this," Gullick said of Boggs. "Edmiston is the only MAGA, and it seems like their whole point is to put a MAGA person everywhere." MAGA is winning. By picking Edmiston, it doesn't appear Boggs did anything she's not allowed to do. Under Arizona law, county school superintendents can appoint district governing board members when there is an opening. That appointee serves until the next governing board election and may run to keep the seat. With PESD's school board elections happening every even year, Edmiston's seat will be up for election in November of 2026. If she doesn't seek and win re-election, her term will end in January of 2027. Until then, the MAGA-aligned Edmiston will serve 5,200 students, spanning from kindergarten to eighth grade, in a particularly liberal and diverse district. Nearly 80% of PESD students are Hispanic, 88% receive free or reduced food services, and 15% are learning English as a second language. Democrat and independent voters dominate the district, according to voter registration precinct data, with roughly 47% of voters registered as Democrats and nearly 40% labeled as other, only 13% of voters in the district are Republicans. When considering an appointee, Boggs doesn't need to consider any of that. In fact, as long as the individual lives in the district and isn't a sex offender, she can appoint whomever she wants. Boggs has taken this power and run with it. She won her election on an explicitly pro-Trump platform, railing against wokeness in schools and hammering other MAGA talking points, like the need for parental choice and the dangers of gender ideology. Since taking office, she appears to be reserving school board appointments for her fellow Trump loyalists. She's definitely pushing to get her own people in there, that's for sure, said Schiller, who is also a former president of the Arizona School Boards Association. If you look at everyone she's put in recently, they're all MAGA. She's protecting that brand. Edmiston fits the bill. The Western Pennsylvania native has a long background working in Washington, D.C., under prominent GOP lawmakers, including Pennsylvania Representative Mike Kelly, Iowa Representative Steve King, and Texas Representative Louie Gohmert. Her LinkedIn profile, which was last updated in early 2023, says she got her bachelor's degree at George Washington University and her law degree from Regent University, the private Christian university that televangelist Pat Robertson founded in 1977. She joined the State Freedom Caucus Network, which works to provide conservatives in state capitals nationwide with resources they need to win, as their Arizona state director more than 2 years ago, according to a February interview with the organization's Substack. In that interview, Edmiston said she works with Freedom Caucus members in the Arizona legislature daily to support them in their work to oppose the corrupting forces of consensus at any cost. Those members include at least 8 state lawmakers, including State Senator Jake Hoffman and State Representatives Alex Kolodin and Joseph Chaplick. Several Arizonans are also a part of the powerful House Freedom Caucus in Congress, including Representative Andy Biggs, who previously chaired it, and Representatives Paul Gosar and Eli Crane. New Times tried to reach Edmiston by phone and email, but she did not respond. 3 days before her appointment, Edmiston told New Times she had not heard anything definitive about her being selected for the open board spot and declined to answer further questions about her application. PESD spokesperson Nicole Baker said the district did not provide candidate recommendations, which Boggs isn't required to heed anyway. In an email to New Times, Boggs spokesperson Anna Oliver said the office doesn't recruit individuals to apply for the vacant positions and interviews everyone who applies through a roundtable discussion. We don't have a formal set of questions for interviews, Oliver wrote. But the MAGA bent of her selections is hard to miss. Boggs has handpicked at least 7 school board members so far this year, per account by the Arizona Agenda. She placed Jeremiah Cota, who used to work for Gosar and Biggs and was the political director for the Arizona Republican Party, on the Phoenix Union High School District's governing board. Boggs also appointed Michael Todd to the Liberty School District, a position he previously held, though his record of adopting a policy to prohibit boys from using girls' bathrooms likely gave him an edge, according to the Arizona Republic. In March, Boggs tapped Kelly Anderson for the Queen Creek Unified School District because she stands firmly against DEI-driven policies, per a Boggs press release. The Queen Creek Independent found now-deleted Facebook posts of Anderson at a MAGA event, including one with Jacob Chansley, better known as the QAnon Shaman. In a social media post on Monday, Cota said the quiet part out loud, praising Edmiston as a MAGA school board member. MAGA is winning, he wrote, and taking over our big city schools. Inappropriate questions. Boggs wasn't shy in her quest to find a MAGA appointee for PESD's school board, as candidates learned during interviews with Boggs and her team. Three candidates for the position told New Times they were also asked inappropriate questions in their interviews. Francisco Pedraza, whose child attends Emerson Elementary School in the district, said he was asked over two interviews about banning DEI in education, upholding Trump's executive orders around DEI, and making sure the school district doesn't turn into some kind of agenda-pushing body about woke politics or woke ideology. It was super politicized, Pedraza said. I'm here because I have a kid in the school district, and I want the board to be transparent. I was really frustrated as a constituent that the board was making decisions about closing schools. Pedraza and other parents have criticized the board for a lack of transparency, including about the decision to shutter two district schools and end its contract with ASU Prep. The board also failed to notify the community when it paid $200,000 to settle a former student's sexual harassment lawsuit. Schiller applied for the board seat in hopes of addressing what she called a train wreck of a governing board that struggled to complete such basic tasks as updating its agenda. His pitch to Boggs was that as a school board veteran, he was plug and play. I don't need to learn anything, he said. I know the rules. I know the policies. I've been through all this. As weeks went by and three follow-up emails went unanswered, he realized Boggs was looking for a true believer. Schiller, a registered independent, didn't fit the bill. I'm not right enough for her, he said. It's actually sad because you're missing decent people that can make a difference. Multiple district parents wrote letters to Boggs recommending Gullick. In her May 20th interview for the position, Gullick fielded questions about her voter registration, which she had switched to independent in November after losing faith in the Democratic Party. When Boggs asked her about how she'd vote on the board, Gullick replied, "Well, I'm going to vote for whatever is in the best interest of the children." Gullick hadn't heard anything from the county superintendent since her interview 9 weeks ago, until Monday, when Boggs sent her a rejection email. Asking about political affiliation may be unusual, Pinal County School Superintendent Jill Broussard told New Times she doesn't ask about party affiliations or other political questions because it's a nonpartisan position. But it's not off limits. Jim Barton, an employment and government relations lawyer at Phoenix-based practice Barton Mendez Soto, said that while Boggs' questions were disappointing and sort of gross, they are probably above board. One would be hard-pressed to say it's out of bounds to ask those questions, Barton said, though he added that it just shows disregard for the position that is supposed to be, by its nature, nonpartisan. Oliver, Boggs' spokesperson, confirmed that candidates were asked about their political activity and/or involvement during interviews, though she denied in an email Thursday the candidates were asked about their voter registration. She said the political activity questions concerned whether candidates intend to run to keep the seat when the appointed term ends. It is important to Superintendent Boggs that we remain consistent and keep governing boards healthy, Oliver wrote. Regarding questions about Trump's executive orders, Oliver noted to New Times that PESD is a district that receives substantial federal funding, and Superintendent Boggs is concerned about risking funding by appointing someone who refuses to uphold federal laws. As it happens, Boggs will soon have another PESD school board seat to fill. On July 29th, 1 week before Edmiston's appointment, PESD governing board member Alicia Vink announced that she'd be resigning at the following meeting. Her husband's work is taking her out of the state. For Schiller, that spells more trouble. I'm really worried with that one lady quitting, he said, that we're going to get two far-right maggots. Remember that if you miss any of the stories in this program or any other SunSounds program, you can listen to them on demand. Just go to sunsounds.org and click on Broadcast Info and Audio. Then click on On Demand Podcasts, scroll down to the program you're interested in, and click on Listen. Here's a story written by T.J. LeHoroux and posted on August 6th. Women shouldn't hold office, says GOP woman now running for office. The daughter of Representative Andy Biggs, one of Donald Trump's biggest congressional cheerleaders, is running for a seat in the Arizona Senate. And to hear her tell it, you shouldn't vote for her because she's a woman. On June 18th, Miley Biggs filed a statement of interest to run for the Gilbert-based state Senate seat that Arizona Senate President Warren Peterson is vacating to run for Attorney General. Biggs is running on a slate with current Legislative District 14 representatives Kyle Powell and Lauren Hendricks. Biggs' father, who is now running for governor, also represented the district for 14 years before winning a seat in Congress. At 25 years old, Biggs just clears Arizona's age requirement to run for a legislative office. Despite her youth, though, Biggs has already managed to contradict the essence of her nascent venture into politics. Exactly 1 year ago, Biggs appeared on a little-known East Valley-based podcast called The Maddie McCurdy Program. During that conversation, Biggs revealed a belief that is diametrically opposed to her own candidacy, that women should not hold political office. Honestly, I don't know if I would vote for any female. I don't know if females should be in office, Biggs told McCurdy and an unknown third person on the August 6th, 2024 episode, laughing about the extreme take. If anyone thought it was a joke, Biggs was sure to clear it up that she wasn't kidding. There are a lot of really good women in office. I'm not trying to hate on anyone, like some really good congresswomen, Biggs added. But I don't think women should hold office in general. That's my position. That's my stance. I think women should run the home. Biggs did not respond to questions from Phoenix New Times about her comments, nor did Hendricks. After this story published, Powell told New Times that, "I know Miley, and I have complete trust in her." Biggs, who graduated last year from the University of Arizona with a degree in political science, didn't stop there. Despite working as an associate of government affairs for the right-wing Arizona Free Enterprise Club, Biggs expressed her concerns with how modern feminism has changed society, starting with women's right to vote. "I hate a 9-to-5 schedule," Biggs said. "I get home and I don't want to do anything else. Like, women weren't built for this. I just want to be a wife. I just want to be a mom." Biggs returned to McCurdy's show in December to analyze the results of the 2024 election. Discussing electoral maps, she again questioned the wisdom of women voting. "Have you seen ones where it's like, if women were the only ones to vote, what it would look like, and it's literally like 80% blue," Biggs said with a laugh. "It's like, whoa, repeal the 19th Amendment." Big fan of Dad. Despite her once expressed aversions to civil liberties for women, when Biggs announced her candidacy on social media, she touted how her parents taught me to love my country, the Constitution, and to value my freedoms. "I've watched so many good people in my life serve this country in the military and in public office," she wrote. "I, too, seek to serve." Since that announcement, little else has happened with Biggs' campaign. Biggs still has not filed a campaign finance report, even though the report for the second quarter of 2025 was due on July 21st. Her candidate profile on the Arizona Secretary of State's office shows she has not raised any money yet. even as she complained that women aren't built to work during her podcast appearance. Biggs also said she was interested in working in the U.S. Foreign Service after serving her Mormon mission in Brazil. Biggs minored in Portuguese in college, though she evidenced little understanding of South America's biggest country in her podcast appearances. "I think the majority is inhabited," she said on the podcast. In reality, 87% of Brazilians live in the country's urban areas, which account for about 0.3% of its landmass. Unsurprisingly, Biggs is a fan of her father. She credited his 2017 election to the House of Representatives to divine intervention after he won the Republican primary by just 17 votes. "It was like, dang, okay, he's meant to do this," the younger Biggs said. "He truly wants to follow the Constitution. He knows the Constitution like the back of his hand." Reasonable minds might dispute that point. Biggs is known for voting against certifying the results of the 2020 presidential contest and has recently rubber-stamped many of Trump's most obvious constitutional violations, including Trump's attempt to cancel birthright citizenship. More recently, Biggs voted against demanding the release of investigative files related to the child sex ring run by billionaire Jeffrey Epstein, despite having previously pressured for their publication. His tune on that issue changed once reporters revealed that Trump's name is in them. When it comes to her father's penchant for espousing conspiracy theories, including about massive election fraud, QAnon, and an all-powerful deep state cabal, the Biggs apple apparently didn't fall far from the Biggs tree. The young Biggs said as much during one podcast appearance, although she tantalizingly stopped before elaborating further. "I love the conspiracies," Biggs said. "Don't get me started on 9/11. State GOP bigwig called the feds on Democrat for posting ICE sighting. This next story was written by Morgan Fisher and posted on August 5th. If you see immigration agents in your community and post about it online, beware. One of the Republicans running to be Arizona's top law enforcement officer thinks you should be prosecuted. In a dramatic escalation of partisan tensions, Arizona Senate President Warren Peterson announced Tuesday that he'd asked federal authorities to investigate Democratic State Senator Annalise Ortiz. What was Ortiz's alleged crime? Posting an alert about an Immigration and Customs Enforcement sighting on her Instagram story. "I spoke with the U.S. Attorney for the District of Arizona and referred this matter to his office to investigate," Peterson wrote in a press conference. "As it appears, she may be in violation of federal laws." Peterson did not specify what law Ortiz allegedly broke in his statement, nor did he respond to questions from Phoenix New Times. Posting about the public activity of law enforcement agents is perfectly legal. In a statement to New Times, Esther Wynn, the Executive Assistant U.S. Attorney for the District of Arizona, said the office is aware of Peterson's request, and will refer the matter to the proper investigative agency for review, if appropriate. Due to Department of Justice policy, the office does not confirm or deny the existence of an investigation, Wynn wrote. In a text to New Times, Ortiz called bullshit on Peterson's maneuver. "These intimidation tactics will not scare me," she wrote, adding that she will continue to alert the community to avoid the area when Trump's masked thugs are out terrorizing everyone. "The First Amendment guarantees my right to free speech," Ortiz added. Ortiz's tweet appears to have come to Peterson's attention thanks to the far-right troll account Libs of TikTok. The account shared a screenshot of Ortiz's Instagram story, which included a post from the Phoenix Rapid Response account about an ICE sighting. The account claimed Ortiz was actively impeding and doxing ICE by posting their live locations. The agents were in public and not named, and therefore not doxed, and demanded that authorities, quote, charge her. Ortiz responded defiantly. Yep, Ortiz wrote to the libs of TikTok tweet, when ICE is around, I will alert my community to stay out of the area, and I'm not fucking scared of you, nor Trump's masked goons. Peterson seems to have taken the libs of TikTok tweet as a marching order, though. Roughly 2 hours later, Peterson issued his press release, calling Ortiz's comments deeply troubling and revealing that he referred the matter to the U.S. Attorney's Office. His eagerness to sic prosecutors on an opposing lawmaker is especially notable, considering that Peterson is running for state attorney general in 2026. As attorney general, he could initiate the type of investigations that he's currently requesting be performed on Ortiz. First Amendment much? Unsurprisingly, Peterson's announcement caught the eye of the state's current attorney general, Democrat Chris Mays. In a social media post, Lays lambasted Peterson for using his position to threaten and intimidate Ortiz for protected speech. I know he's only been a lawyer for a year and a half, Mays wrote, but he needs a continuing legal education on the Bill of Rights. Peterson was only admitted to the State Bar of Arizona in December of 2023 after obtaining his law degree from Arizona State University's Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law. Greg Leslie, the executive director of the law school's renowned First Amendment Clinic, said the law is clearly on Ortiz's side. Leslie told New Times that the right to free speech means you certainly should be able to share information about what you see in your community without getting in trouble. Leslie noted that Ortiz isn't sharing information she received directly from ICE. As citizens, we don't have an obligation to keep government secrets when we're not getting something for it in exchange, like security clearance, Leslie explained. Nor should people be charged with aiding and abetting or interfering with police activity or any other arrestable offense if you're just telling other people what you see without an obligation to keep something secretive, Leslie added. Borderlands Resource Initiative and other groups that post the ICE alerts certainly don't get their information from government sources. Instead, the Phoenix Rapid Response Instagram account works by sharing what community members see in the open. Last month, Borderlands Executive Director Beth Strano told New Times that the account is a community project in collaboration with several local organizations, including Borderlands and Puente. If a community member sees ICE agents or vehicles, they can call the organization's Migra Watch hotline to report it. A volunteer on the other end of the line will attempt to verify the sighting. If verified, the Phoenix Rapid Response account will post the alert online in about 5 minutes after receiving the call. Those posts are commonly shared by community organizers, leaders, and even elected officials like Ortiz, who compare the information sharing to apps like Waze and Citizen that alert people to speed traps. Every individual has the right to know when and where to protect themselves, Ortiz said. Next, this story written by Morgan Fisher and posted on August 8th. Stanton wants to join lawsuit against ICE over detention center visits. Arizona Democratic Representative Greg Stanton wants to join a lawsuit challenging a new Department of Homeland Security policy that requires prior notice for visits to Immigration and Customs Enforcement facilities after he was denied entry over the rule. On July 25th, Stanton made the trek to ICE's Eloy Detention Center, which is operated by private prison group CoreCivic. He planned to meet with Kelly Yu, a detainee and restaurant owner in Peoria, and conduct oversight in accordance with his congressional duties. But like so many other members of Congress conducting oversight visits, Stanton was turned away. Despite federal law saying otherwise, Stanton was told that he could enter only after providing the facility with 7 days' notice that he was planning to visit, negating the point of a surprise inspection. A little over a week later, after providing that notice and securing approval to visit, Stanton returned to the facility. On Tuesday, he was given a nearly five-hour tour and met with you and 20 other detainees. Still, Stanton said he shouldn't have had to provide a heads up. For obvious reasons, he said, he wanted to go in without prior notice so his visit could be as accurate as possible and not curated. This is not an optional thing, Stanton told Phoenix New Times. Federal law is clear that Congress members have a right to do oversight over this facility without having to get prior notice. Stanton isn't alone in his concern over the DHS rule. 5 days after Stanton was first denied entry, a dozen members of the House of Representatives sued ICE, DHS, and the heads of both agencies over their unlawful obstruction of congressional oversight and the 7-day waiting period policy. Colorado Representative Joe Neguse, who was denied entry to an ICE field office in Virginia in late July, is leading the lawsuit. Other plaintiffs hail from Texas, New York, California, Maryland, and Mississippi. Neither Stanton nor any other Arizona Democrat is party to the suit, but Stanton told New Times that he wants in, either through a court brief, joining the case as an additional plaintiff, or by some other means. I don't know what form that's going to take. I hope they'll let us join that lawsuit, Stanton said. It's important that we get a court order making that absolutely clear so that the administration changes its policy and does follow federal law. And that brings us to the end of this week's program. Thanks very much for listening to Stories from the Phoenix New Times. Please stay tuned for additional interesting programs. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer, Chip Hawbrook.